Amen. Thank you, Jake. All right. Well, good morning. Mark Lewis, one of the pastors here at Legacy. It's good to see you. I hope you had a good Christmas. I know that Christmas can be a busy time. It could be a joyful time. It could be a sad time. It could be fill in the blank all the times. It just can be. And so I do pray that you're coming in today wanting to taste and see that the Lord is good. Maybe you had a great week of tasting and seeing that he was good, of being reminded that God has come, Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus has come into the world to give us life. But if not, I pray that after you leave today, you'll be thinking about the graciousness and mercy of the Lord. So we are gearing up for a new year, right? I mean, my calendar is correct. Like, next week is a new year. And so a lot of us are thinking, okay, over this week and next week, there's going to be a lot of phrases being thrown out about planning and thinking and themes and whatnot. So I just wanted to remind us of some of these, right? To go ahead and get us excited, get us going. And so new year, new you. New year, new you. Out with the old, in with the new. Fresh start. Some of these are real simple, and it's like, why does that make the list? But it makes some of our list. A clean slate. Turn the page. New beginnings. A fresh chapter. This is my year. Start strong. Back to the basics. Or maybe a little more goal and growth-oriented types of phrases. Progress, not perfection. How about that one? I like that, right? Progress, not perfection. One day at a time. Small steps, big changes. I like that. Small steps, big changes. Be intentional. And all you gamers out there, level up. Do the work. Stay the course. Trust the process. Consistency is key. Or maybe a little bit more reflective, maybe a little more personal development types of things. Less resolution, more intention. Become who you're meant to be. Focus on what matters. Live on purpose. In college, we had a whole New Year's conference theme. It was living on purpose. And I can't say it without saying live on porpoise, because one of the campuses, a guy came out on a blow-up dolphin and said, yeah, I'm living on porpoise. So, but live on purpose. But I'm telling you, I cannot think live on porpoise. Okay, so choose growth, reset and refocus. Prioritize what lasts. Now, these last two, I've grown up since college with these. These shape a lot of the ways that I think about planning for the new year. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. Or he who fails to plan, plans to fail. All right. And so I want to add one more to the mix. And that's what this sermon is going to be about. It's going to be a twist on new year, new view, and it's going to be, I just spoiled it. I just let the cat out of the bag. It's new year, new you. It's going to be new year, new view. A new view. And what is this new view? Go ahead and tell you. It's for us to look to Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith this year. What if that was our primary resolution? Would be to look to him, to look to Christ, to shape all of our plans, all of our thoughts, all of our actions, all of our prayers. The way we do things, the way we think, would be a looking to him. And so for some of us, this is not a new view. We've been trying to live our lives viewing Christ. But for some of you, that hasn't been the case for you. You don't Maybe you don't know Christ. And so it's going to be you saying, I want to view the gospel message. I want to take a look at this good news. Why is this story of Christ coming into this world good news? Why does it matter? Why does he matter? Because for many of us in this room, it doesn't take us long as believers to set our gaze upon Christ and then begin to be those like the song that says, we are prone to wander, we are prone to leave the God we love. And often that's more of a looking. We're prone to look away from him and look to other things. So Psalm 34 is going to be our primary context. And then we're going to do what we don't love doing as we preach. So this is going to be more of a little bit more of a sermonette devotion, because we're going to play some hopscotch. We're going to jump through a lot of different scriptures this morning. But the primary text is going to be Psalm 34. So just be thinking about viewing the Lord, looking to him as I read this. This will be on the screen. Read along in your hearts. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. We'll read that again. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer and want and hunger, and those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may seek good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Let me read that again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Let me pray for us. God, I pray that you would help us to look to you, that our gaze would be upon you, that we would look to you and be radiant, that we would behold you and we would be changed, and that would matter for those around us. It would matter for our very own hearts. God, we desire for you to be glorified, to be made much of. Help us to know how to look. Help us to want to look to you. Change us. Help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look through. There's at least 17 calls to action in this passage. Prove me wrong later. I'm happy to hear that. Maybe you're like, no, it's really 16. These two go together. That's great. That would be fine with me. But maybe there's more. But here's a few of them that we're called to do. Bless the Lord. Make your boast in the Lord. Hear. Be glad. Magnify the Lord. Exalt his name. Seek the Lord. Look to him. Cry out to the Lord. Fear the Lord. Taste and see. So I guess there's 18 because we'll add in the taste and the see are two separate ones. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil. Do good. Seek peace. Pursue peace. Take refuge in Him. There's so many things that we're told to do. But this passage is so full of the only way we can do it is looking to Him. It's such a passage of command, such a passage of grace, such a passage of what Augustine says, Lord, give me your commands, but grant what you command. We are told to do the impossible in here. We don't even want to look. He has to give us the desire to look. But here we see so many calls, so many commands, but we are told that we have to taste. We have to look. We have to magnify. We have to exalt. We have to seek. So many of these things are turning towards Him, contemplating upon Him, knowing Him. Not just knowing what's in front of you and getting ready for it. Not just knowing what life could look like if you just did the right thing. But knowing Him. Look to Him. A new you, a new year, a new view. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So this beholding the glory of the Lord. We are to behold His glory. We're to look to Him. We're to contemplate upon who He is. We are to behold Him. Exodus 34, we see that, we're not going to read this passage, but we see that Moses beholds the glory of the Lord. Moses beholds the glory of the Lord on Mount Sinai. When he turns to the people, he comes back down, and he turns to the people, his face is radiant. It's as if there's radiation. There's something just coming off his face because he saw the glory of the Lord. It changed him, but he actually had to cover his face. The people were saying, cover your face, Moses. They were scared. They were afraid because his appearance was now different because he beheld the glory of the Lord. And the people saw that he was different, and they didn't quite understand it yet because they had been worshiping a golden calf. They thought that that was glorious and shiny and wonderful. But when they saw the glory of the Lord bouncing off of Moses, they were like, there's something real about that, and we can't handle it. And God says, look to me. I want you to see me. I want you to know me. I want you to be changed. This is for your good. And it is for my glory. You see, I don't believe that Moses was trying to shine. I don't think he said, I'm going to go up on this mountain, I'm going to come down, and I'm going to be a great light, and I'm going to shine, and I'm going to be radiant. That's not a bad goal. It's not a bad desire. But I don't think that's what he was trying to do. He just wanted to see God. He wanted to behold the glory of the God, of God. Glory was being reflected. God's glory was on display. We hear it said, beholding is becoming. Now, about 27, 28 years ago, when Sherry and I were getting ready to move to Thailand, we would listen to this CD. It was about 6 years before this thing called YouTube came out. So it's like, what do to just kind of be entertained? You listen to tapes, or you watched a DVD, but we had the CD of this comedian. His name was Brian Regan, and he made us laugh a whole lot. And we went to see him in person. We laughed a lot. We bought a CD, and we would listen to that same bit, that same show, over and over again in Thailand. We even brought our team in. Hey, we're going to do a little get together tonight. We're going to listen to a CD together. And we would sit around the living room and laugh and have fun. And one of the things that Brian Regan would talk about is his parents would send all the kids out into the yard. Get out of the house. Go out in the yard. go do an activity. And Brian Regan's like, he was just a little kid. He's like, what kind of activity? You know? And so his older brothers was like, hey, Brian, we're going to do an activity. We're going to do the sun stare game. Brian, let's see how long you can look at the sun. Right? And so Brian's like, one, two, and he's blind, all right? Beholding is becoming. He beheld the sun, and he became blind. We behold the Son of God, and our blindness, we actually receive sight. You see, we go to see the Lord blindly. We don't know him. We can't see him. He opens our eyes. We see him, and beholding him, we see him more fully, and we are changed. Beholding is becoming. So, friends, where is your gaze? Where's your look? Where's your view? There's a new year coming. Let's have a new view. Hebrews 12, verse 2 tells us to fix our eyes on him. Don't just look to him, but fix your eyes on him. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, go back and read Hebrews 11. This cloud of witnesses is all these men and women who were killed because of their faith. And he's like, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, such a great cloud of people that testify to us how great it is to look to God, what it is to look to him, your life has changed, you have peace, you have joy, but you might die, and most of them did. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us not only look to him, but let us fix our eyes on him. Isaiah 45, 22 says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Let us turn to him and be saved. John 1, 29, we are to behold the Lamb of God. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him. This is John the Baptist. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's not just like, hey, look over there. Look at this man coming. He says, behold, look, gaze, fix your eyes on him, behold him, look to him. Contemplate him, know him, and you got to put yourself there. The people are still like, I don't really know what I'm looking at. And I said, dude, what are you saying? And then you're saying the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world? We've been trusting you a long time, John. What are you talking about? Soon they would know. Soon they would know. So some of you are like, who is this Jesus you're telling me to look to? There's a lot of people in your shoes when John the Baptist was saying that. They didn't quite understand yet. But you can look to scriptures. You can hear the rest of the story of who Jesus is. And then in John 3:14, we remember that Moses lifted up a serpent, a bronze serpent, a snake on a pole for people to look at and be physically healed. Which I would hear that as a kid and just... I don't know. I was like, I don't even understand. That's so weird. It doesn't sound Christian. Are you allowed to say this in Sunday school? It seemed like devil worship to me, because that was a big phrase that was thrown out in the 80s. I'm not going to say all the games that got, but there was just so much. I was like, this seems weird. But it's something that God had told Moses to do. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You see, the people of Israel were just out in the wilderness complaining. And we understand where their complaints come from. They're out in the wilderness. It's tough. It's been hard. But God has given all these promises. They've seen all these miracles, and they're sitting there complaining. So God sends all these snakes out, these fiery serpents, as they are called, and they bite the people, and they're poisonous, and they're dying. And Moses is like, wait, the people are repenting. They're saying they're sorry. So he says, okay, this is what you do. You take a bronze serpent, you put it on the pole, and you hold it up. And when the people look to the serpent, they'll be healed. They'll be healed. John 3 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. It was a picture. It was a picture of Christ coming. And Christ takes our poison of sin, and he takes it upon himself. He takes the wrath of God upon himself. He dies in our place, and he rises up. But on the cross is where he is lifted up. And we are looked to the crucified Savior to see that he died the death that I deserved. And we look to the risen Savior as the one who lives for us and gives us life. We are to look to him. When they looked, they lived. New year, new view. Look to him. Look to Jesus. They went from dying to living, from helpless to healed. So we need to look. We need to fix our eyes. We need to turn to him. Psalm 27:4 says this. We are to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I've asked the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So not just gaze upon the Lord, not just know his commands, but why does the scriptures talk about that he is beautiful? That he is good. Know him. Study his attributes. Who is God? Who is Christ? The Holy Spirit. Who is the Father, Son, the Spirit? I want to know you, Lord. Seek his presence continually. A new year, a new view. To seek his presence continually, continually, continually. Psalm 119:37, it's this prayer of, that's what I want to do, but God, I gaze other places, I look other places, so turn my eyes, Lord, turn my eyes. Psalm 119:37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. And give me life in your ways. So we're to turn to him and his ways. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in the horsemen because they are very strong. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. When you're making your plans for this year, consult with the Lord. Another way to put it, talk to your dad. Your dad, your father that knows all things, that actually loves you and cares for you, can give you strength, can give you hope. Talk to him, consult to him about what you're thinking your life was supposed to look like, what your life does look like. Just talk to him what you want it to look like. Consult him through his scriptures, through prayer. Ask him. But it takes a turning to him. Hey, Dad. Hey, Father. Hey, God. Hey, King. Hey, Good Shepherd. Planning my year out. What are some things that need to look different this year? What are some things that need to change? What are some things that maybe I need to repent from? Help me. Consult the Lord. Don't consult all these podcast people. There's some good podcasts out there. We're consulting so many people and places and smart people and strong people. And I can't even go down the list of all the information that we have. Consult the Lord. Be in His Word. Be in prayer. Look to the Lord. Micah 7:7. Micah says this, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord." This is what I want my year to be like. I want to say not just, let us do this, but I want to be like Micah. As for me, I will look to the Lord. I want my family to look to the Lord. We want our church to look to the Lord. We want Knoxville, we want this world to look to Him. I want the people that I work with here at Legacy on staff, with Campus Outreach, all these staff that I work with, and all these students. But I want to look to the Lord. Micah says, "I will wait for the God of my salvation, and I will, my God will hear me." So there is a turning. There's a repenting. We're turning away from something and turning to someone. So how can we look to Him? Here's going to be 7 quick little things that I think can help us. 1, ask Him to show you Himself. God, would you show me yourself? Show me your glory. Show me your ways. Help me to understand who Jesus is. But also, Lord, show me myself. Who am I? Why do I need you? Why do I do the things that I do? Why am I down? Why do I have so much fear? Why am I so consumed with a particular aspect of my life that I'm not willing to say, Lord, your will be done here. Show me yourself. Show me who I am. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." 2, not just say, God, show me yourself, but actually seek Him. Seek Him. Do the work. Open the Word. Listen to Scripture on the Bible app. If you didn't know, there's a play button on that Bible. You can hit play and it'll start reading. It often does during church. Somebody's like, oh, you know, it plays. Listen to Scripture. Maybe you have a long commute to work or school. Maybe you have a short commute. Listen to Scripture. Seek Him. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So seek Him. Seek Him. 3, as you do seek Him, as you do study who He is, as you do look to the Word, contemplate, gaze, meditate, consider, consult, dwell. Hang out with the Father through His Scripture. Say, Spirit, show me who you are. If you're not a believer, say, God, show me who you are. Show me my need for salvation and how I can be saved. 4, turn. As you're looking at Him, as you're seeking Him, as you're contemplating Him, continue to say, I want to stay turned away from the things that are not good. And trust. 5, trust Him. This is what is so hard. This is faith. Trust Him. He is trustworthy. And then 6, walk. Walk in faith. David himself, he looked to the Lord as a boy, and he walked to Goliath and kill Goliath. There is a walking, there is a faith. David was very clear that, no, we serve a mighty God. Why are we afraid of this massive giant over here that's insulting our God? He had faith in God, but he walked. He put himself in danger. Jesus trusted his Father, and he walked to Jerusalem, to Mount Calvary, with a cross on his back. Jesus himself walks, trusting the Father. We don't know exactly what we're going to face this year. More than 75% of us in this room know what we're facing right now. It's like, you know, next year's just a date, dude. Like, I know what I'm going through right now. I know what I need right now. I know what I don't know what I need right now. I'm in a spot. I need the Lord. So walk, face him. But no amount of planning can make or bring peace and stability. There's got to be faith. There's got to be looking. There's got to be a walking with him. And then 7, repeat. So God, show me yourself, and then seek him. Think about who he is. Dwell, contemplate on him, and then continually turn to him, trust him, and walk with him. I heard this many years ago, and I say this often, but our faith is not in our faith. If so, we're doomed, because my faith is so flaky. My faith is so weak. My faith is in Jesus, who is the author of my faith and the perfecter of my faith. And he says, trust me. Trust me, Mark. Trust me with your faith, but trust me. As we plan, as we think, as we walk, let us consider something John Calvin says. He says this, let us not cease to do the utmost. Let us do the utmost, that we may incessantly go forward in the way of the Lord. So that let us go, let us run, let us do the things. But he says this also, and let us not despair of the smallness of our accomplishments. Have these big plans, have these big things that we want to do this year. Yeah, let us go. Let us go in the name of the Lord. But don't despair of small accomplishments this year. And if my greatest accomplishment this year is that I looked more to Jesus, even if it's just a little bit of growth in the looking category, I believe that will be the best accomplishment that I could have in 2026, that I look to the Lord, the author and perfecter of my faith. Would the Lord help us to do that? Worship team, you can come on up. So what if we did? What if we spent more time this year looking and gazing and turning and facing the Lord than fearing the day? What if more time was spent there? There's 2 or 3 of you in the room right now that are so glad that we're done with all the fun opening of presents because you're ready to open your planners. I think there's 2 of you in the room. They're like, I am ready. This is my Christmas. Planning the year. That's a good thing. I love those people. But as you're opening up the calendars, as you're thinking ahead, let your time, let your year be marked by this new year, having a new view. God, let me see you in new ways. Let me see you for the first time. Let me see the things of earth properly because I'm looking to you first. Let me put things in the right category because I'm looking to you first. Let us be a people that seek first the kingdom of God in his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you as well. This psalm that we read in the beginning, it's got some pretty bold claims. It's like, yeah, I don't know about that. Really? Really? It's true. There's going to be a day, believer, where all afflictions are gone, where all pain is wiped away, where you see that the encampment of the Lord is around you. Sin no longer can enter in. Your weaknesses are no longer a weakness. That you are in a place of continual peace, continual joy. For the believer, that place is heaven, but that place is possible because of the person of Jesus. And heaven is going to be a great place because that is where God is. That's where He is. That's where we will see Him face to face and be changed forever. So let us look to the Lord daily. So if you would, we're going to have a time of communion. If you'd stand up with me. This is a time where here in a moment you're going to get with your friends, your family, your comm group, or maybe just alone. And we're going to remember what Christ has done. We're going to take the little wafer here, and we're going to be reminded that His body was broken for us. And we're going to drink the juice, and we're going to be reminded of the blood that was poured out for us. That Jesus Himself had a view of His Father. He had a view for us, and He was able to save us. He went to the cross fully loving His Father and fully loving us. And He accomplished the greatest thing on any task list that could ever be tasked. He checked the box. He made a way for salvation. He's done the greatest thing. And Romans says that He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Let our biggest and greatest view be about the greatest gift He's given us. God has given us Jesus. Let us look to Him. And then He says, come to Me with all your other things. Come to Me. So we're going to take communion here in a minute. Let's just be reminded of what Christ has done for us. And then during or after communion, this is a time, parents, for you to go get your children, guardians, to go get your kids. We'll come back in here, and we'll have a time of worship, singing some songs together. We are happy and desirous for your kids to be in here. It's okay that it gets a little loud. It's okay if there's some crying that you are doing, and your kids. I love you guys. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to have a time of communion and enter into this time of worship. God, I thank You so much. I thank You for being a God who is amazing to gaze upon. Help us. Give us a desire to look to You. Give us the strength to look to You. I pray for any in this room that don't know You, that You would save them, give them life. And those of us that do know You, help us. Help us, God. We need You in Jesus' name.